They say, the harder the work, the greater the reward. This is our life's work.
Good morning. It is 8:26, Tuesday, April 26th. This is the TDN Writers Room, as you can see, on scene at Keeneland. My name is Joe Bianca. I'm the associate editor of the Thoroughbred Daily News, and I've been having so much fun in Lexington and Keeneland this weekend, guys. I might just take a little accent home with me to Brooklyn.
Good morning. I'm Bill Finley, a correspondent for the Thoroughbred Daily News. And yes, it is nearing the first Saturday in May, and we are sitting here in parkas in frigid Lexington, Kentucky. Joe, what happened to the 80-degree weather?
I don't know. I gotta go back home to Brooklyn. I'm taking this weather with me, unfortunately.
There you go. But now, everybody thinks it's a quiet weekend in racing because, you know, the Derby's coming up the following Saturday. You got it all wrong. At Fawner Park this Saturday, it's their biggest day of the meet. The feature race is the $75,000 Bosselman Pump and Pantry Gus something or other stakes. I know I'm psyched, John.
Wait, who was that sponsor? Who's the sponsor of the race?
Pump and Pantry. It's I think it's like their version of 7-Eleven or something.
Okay, okay. Yeah. But it wasn't the big ass fan.
No.
All right, all right. Jonathan Green, general manager of DJ Stable. And I have to say that I'm so happy to be here at Keeneland. So many great memories, not only, you know, winning big races, but also being here for the sales, buying and selling. And guys, this is April in Kentucky, you know, where you get 80 degrees, 40 degrees. That's the way it is. But that's why we love Kentucky, and that's why we love being here.
That's why you got to live it up on the days that are nice. Definitely did. The TDN Writers Room is brought to you by Keeneland. This Friday is the Keeneland April Horses of Racing Age Sale. It's also closing day at Keeneland. The sale takes place after the races. And also this Friday is the deadline to get your entries in for the Keeneland September sale. And here to talk to us about all that is the VP of Sales, Tony Lacey. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's a real pleasure.
Great to have you. You're smart enough to wear gloves, which I wasn't. So shout out to you. You're already ahead of us. So let's talk a little bit about the sale on Friday. It's a little bit of a mix of digital and on-location sales. Can you talk about what the feedback has been for those hybrid sales and kind of where you're looking to go with it?
Well, when you say hybrid, I'd be very honest, the vast majority of the horses are going to be here, you know, and that's what we wanted to try and lean into, make sure, if at all possible, that we could get these horses on site, which will lend to the atmosphere. It'll lend into the environment that we're trying to create and build as we go forward with this sale. It's a segment of the market that has been really vibrant. There's real growth in it, you know. And again, with the flourishing of these of syndicates and partnerships, it's important that we allow and find ways of getting people into the game and having a turnkey horse that they can come, they can inspect, give them all the information that they need, so they can make educated and informed decisions that they could run a horse within a week or two.
Tony, good morning, and thanks for joining us. You talked about the hybrid nature of the sale with it being both remote and on-site. The other change is that it's occurring after the races. And, you know, really, correct me if I'm wrong, I think that's unprecedented for a major sale. What is the reasoning behind that?
Well, I think, you know, as we came, like I've started almost a year ago, you know, the first thing we did was look at everything and how do we better service our clients? What is the best way we do things? So as Keeneland, it embodies everything that in the industry. It's a sales company, but it's also a world-class racetrack. So by combining the two activities on the one day, logistically for our team, it's really challenging, but everybody knew it was very important that we could pull it off to get it done. And the feedback has been really, really positive. I think the people really appreciate the fact that they can go racing, you know, watch The Bewitched, have a couple of allowance races right afterwards, and walk down the hill, and an hour later we're able to sell horses. So it's combining the two activities. It allows us to be able to complete that sale before people start moving over to Churchill for Derby week. And I think that's really what we don't want to confuse anything, and we want to try and build on what we've got here and lean into it as much as possible.
And Tony, one of the things that Keeneland has implemented over the past couple of years has been the online platform.
Sure.
As far as being able to bid, you know, through the internet.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're all in New Jersey, so obviously it's great for us to be able to buy and sell, you know, with you guys, but also be able to bid, you know, online. How has that expanded the sales opportunities for you guys?
Well, I think like a lot of things, I think the pandemic has forced a lot of innovation that may have taken a lot longer to initiate. And I think it was something that the horse industry is not something that really embraces change really quickly. So as we learn from a lot of our customers have really appreciated the fact of being able to bid online but being able to do their homework, information, transparency is incredibly important. And the fact that we're trying to be flexible as much as possible, trying to find ways to make it convenient, because a traditional auction is absolutely something that's not going to go away, but we've got to find a way of modernizing it and finding a way that better suits the modern way of doing business.
Yeah, and I think the future is these combined sales, horses of racing age. You know, sometimes there's 2-year-olds, horses of racing age. Do you think that's the future of sales? Do you think that, you know, aside from the Keeneland Septembers and the sure. Keeneland Novembers, do you think that that's going to be more of the future, is to have totally different offerings in one sale?
Well, I think it's certainly that in November, for example, we have breeding stock and
right.
horses of racing age, and move that to the end of the sale because they're two different entities.
Yep.
So we different markets completely. So I think traditionally we did have a 2-year-old sale on site,
yep.
but really it became apparent that the consigners in Florida, they had a focus on sales and OBS, and so it was not something that they could really manage.
Yep.
And we appreciate that. We listened. And so as we look at the way, we look at the fact that there's racehorses, some of the best racehorses in the country are on our backstretch during April. The best jockeys population, you know, we've got a great concentration of trainers, so let's play into that.
Yeah.
And that's what we want to try and again combine everything what's best of what we do. We're not trying to be something we're not, and we want to be as responsive as possible. So and I think there's always ways of improving and evolving.
Yeah.
As we go into the future.
Tony, I know you're a sales guy and not necessarily a racing guy, but I'll pose this question to you, and I'm sure you'd be glad to answer it. Keeneland, as we speak, with what, 3 days left in the meet, is on track to likely set a new record for highest spring handle in its history. This is during a year where the general handle in racing is pretty much flat for the year. What's going on? What is happening here that, you know, you always had good business, but it's seemingly gone to another level?
Well, actually, we blew by it on Friday.
You did? Okay,
on Sunday, I should say. Sorry.
Congratulations. That's
great.
Yeah,
so all-time. Yeah. So we blew by the all-time spring handle a few days ago, and we did an all-time record on Sunday. So we still got 3 days to go. Incredible. I think the field sizes have been very important. Gatewood has done, and the racing team have done an incredible job putting a very strong condition book together. Attracted a lot of the best horses. Great prize money, which lends into, again, when we have a good September, when we have a good sale year, this is the fruits of the labor, because we're able to increase the purses, we're able to make a stronger product, the bettors really, really enjoyed, we're watching the numbers come in, and we broke 2 or 3 records if not more, during the race meet, for an all-time one-day record, all-time Wednesday, all-time Thursday. So I think we've, again, a little bit like our September sales and the November sales last year, we don't want to take anything for granted. We got to learn what worked. I think we're in a little bit of an exciting era when it comes to Kentucky racing. It's a very strong circuit. The purses are going to be incredibly strong as we move forward. When you see the jockey population and the trainers that were here during the meet, I think that only lends to the demand for stalls has never been stronger. So we've got to find a way of, okay, we got to grow on this. And I think it's really exciting, and I think it's good for the sport. I know in other areas, but again, I think as an industry leader, we've got to try and find ways of how we help the industry as a whole. And this is a good way as we learn.
And I commend you guys for not only breaking the records, but also having the proper foresight not to let Joe in on Saturday. That was actually really smart on your part.
You didn't
call me. So let's stick with racing. So this year, at the end of the year, you're going to have the crown jewel, the Breeders' Cup here. What are you guys planning that's going to be different as far as hosting the Breeders' Cup this year?
Well, I think anybody who was here in 2015 understood that was probably one of the best couple of days racing, the atmosphere. What's unique about Keeneland, I think, that you find, and I've heard it from so many people, everybody that's here are professionals.
Yep.
You know, they really understand the industry.
Yeah.
They've got a passion. There's a true love amongst everybody in the grandstand. There's going to be 45,000 people here. So that's an incredible event in itself. And I think, as you see, when we've got, as we've got the Breeders' Cup happening just up on the other side of this little laneway, we've got the November sale and some of those fillies and mares coming right through here, which again embraces everything we do. And again, everything we, the stronger we are in November, the stronger the April meet will be. And so that again is, it just energizes the industry, I think, as we try to make it better for everybody.
Well, Tony, congratulations on all the records that are being broken this meet. Best of luck with the sale on Friday, and we appreciate you stopping by the set.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you, guys.
Good stuff. The TDN Writers' Room is brought to you by Keeneland. Like I said, this Friday is that April Horses of Racing Age sale, also the deadline for the Keeneland September yearling sale. Check all that out at Keeneland.com. We'll be right back after this message from Keeneland.
With all eyes on the bluegrass this spring, there's no better way to take in the action than Friday, April 29th at Keeneland.
And they're off.
We get into it with hip number one. Good luck.
Featuring a day filled with world-class racing, followed by a unique sales experience in the evening. The April Horses of Racing Age sale. After the races on closing day of the spring meet. Follow the action this April to Keeneland.
Spitestown. Munning. Echo Town.
It's Echotown for Joe Palamo and Echotown raced away.
And Echotown is drawing away in the stretch. Echotown wins the Allen Jerkin Stakes.
A sire line so prolific, it repeats itself. Echotown.
The TDN Writers' Room is brought to you by Coolmore. We told you it would happen. I was out at Ashford on Monday, and I got to see my favorite stallion in the world, Cupid. So you got plenty of footage. Also got to see American Pharoah, Justify. Ashford is obviously a stunning place to visit, and we appreciate Robin over there for showing us around. So check out me and Cupid hitting it off. So I'm here at beautiful Ashford Stud, here in the heart of bluegrass country in Kentucky, and I'm about to meet my boo, my boy. He doesn't know he's my boo or my boy, but if you watch the show, you know I'm particularly obsessed with this stallion. So let's bring out my son, Cupid. Pretty boy. Well, he's just as handsome as I had predicted. Even more beautiful in person. So next up in the rotating guest chair here at Keeneland is Chance Tim of Grovendale Sales. Thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Great to have you. Great to talk to you. So you have an extensive background in the business, Lane's End, Don Alberto. Now you're working with James Keough for Grovendale Sales. Can you talk a little bit about how this opportunity might differ from some of the stuff you'd previously done in the industry and kind of how that knowledge base might help you?
Yeah, you know, it's something that James and I have been talking about doing for a long time, actually. James and I have been close friends. We've partnered on horses for a long time. He's been really good to me since I first came out here prior to Flying Start in like 07, I guess it was. So luckily enough, I've been able to call him my friend, and now I get to call him my partner. But, you know, my time at Lane's End, I was the director of Stallion Seasons and Chairs over there for 8 years, but was pretty heavily involved with the sales consignment over there, recruiting and placing the horses. So luckily enough, working with Alaire and Mike Klein and Bill and David and all the great team over there, I was able to learn quite a lot and hopefully put me in a position to take this next step here on my own.
Chance, thanks for joining us. Well, the next step continues on Friday with the Horses of Racing Age sale. For the new partnership, it'll be your first time selling horses. Just give us an overview, a little bit about your thoughts on the sale, maybe some of the changes they brought in, and also some of the horses you guys will be selling.
Yeah, I think it's a great spot. I mean, I think, you know, we're in the business of selling horses, so any opportunity there is to sell horses, I think it makes a lot of sense. You know, Tony kind of referenced it earlier, you know, just having that frequency. And I think, you know, nowadays, especially like in the information age, like, you know, people want that transparency and they want to be able to see, you know, what's out there. And prospective buyers want to know about the process and the horses and be able to participate anywhere in the world. So I think it's great. I think the horse of racing age segment is a really good fit for Keeneland here, especially this time of year. You know, it makes a lot of sense, obviously, for the, you know, leading into the summer seasons. And for us, we've got a handful of maidens. We've got four horses cataloged. They're all maidens, you know, so they have a lot of racing in front of them. And we're looking forward to representing the owners.
And Chance, one of the things that you specialized in at Lane's End was, you know, the Stallion Seasons and Shares. Now that you're independent, Are there some under the radar stallions that you have gravitated towards or that you're recommending to clients to breed to?
You know, I'm funny enough, in the Keeneland sale, they announced that they've got a share in Upstart to be offered for purchase, which I think is really interesting. He's a horse that I actually tried to buy a share in a few months ago, but came up a little short. But it's only more expensive now.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
That's the way it goes. But yeah, I think that horse is doing a lot of great things and obviously has a big chance, you know, on Friday and Saturday at Derby Week to make a whole lot of noise, you know. But I think he's really interesting. He's got a lot of very nice, solid, graded stakes horses, you know, from a moderate stud fee and pretty moderate mares, you know. So I think he's a horse to pay attention to for sure.
And if you ever want to come back to the show, you have to say Cupid.
Oh yeah, I have to, huh?
My buddy. So I mean, the trend. I was talking to Tony about this. The trend in sales to be a little bit more digital, a little bit more offsite since COVID started. How do you feel the appetite is for those kind of sales compared to the onsite sales? Do you think clients still mostly want to be onsite, or they're getting more comfortable with the online version of the sales?
I think it's a bit of both. You know, I think for the most part, you know, if you're going to spend a significant amount of money, like upwards into six figures, you know, I think most people want to have somebody on site to see the horse and obviously physically inspect them. The greater investment you're going to have, obviously you want to, you know, do every aspect of your due diligence that you should. But, you know, for the lower to, you know, middle range horses, I think it's been revolutionary.
Yes.
You know, like, yeah. I mean, last September we were back here and we were selling horses with no reserve for 50, 70 grand. I mean, it was crazy. Yeah. You know, horses just walking up there and the internet was all over the place, you know? So when you give them all that information online, videos, veterinary work, you know, all that kind of stuff where they can have confidence, I think it correlates to bids.
Yep.
Chance, we're here in the center of the universe of horse racing in Kentucky. You come from a horse racing perspective, perhaps the exact opposite.
Yeah.
How the heck does a guy from Utah be now sitting here involved as a major player in the thoroughbred horse racing business right here again in the heart of the business in Kentucky? I mean, Utah, there will never be a racetrack in Utah, ever.
Well, there's a couple racetracks.
No gambling, though, right?
Not near as notable as this place.
Yeah.
There is a dirt surface and horses running around in a circle. But no, I'm just lucky, Bill, to be honest. Like, I've been really fortunate to have a couple really good breaks. The Race for Education gave me a scholarship out of high school. Elizabeth Jensen and Bill Kasner speared that up for a long time. Was fortunate to get on the Flying Start, and you know, some really good friends and good contacts. You know, Jerry Duffy has been a really close friend of mine that's put me in a really good spot on numerous occasions. And my father-in-law Bobby Spaulding have been, you know, really close, you know, dear friends and contacts that have, you know, helped me get to this point. So I'm lucky for sure.
And Chance, you guys, you know, handle so many different aspects of the industry with the breeding side and the selling, and obviously you're trying to recruit fillies off the racetrack. What is your favorite day on the calendar? Is it Kentucky Derby Day? Is it the first day of the September sale? Is it, you know, it can't be anniversaries or birthdays. What's your favorite racing day of the year?
Well, if it's racing day, I really enjoy Saratoga. You know, that's one of my favorite times of the year. That, you know, to be honest, you know, what we do, and every consigner and salesperson will attest to it, and buyer, it's hard. You know, it's a lot of work. You know, when you work a sale on any side of it, it's a lot of work. Saratoga is a riot. Like, I mean, it's so much fun, and the numbers are manageable. You're there for a prolonged period of time. You get experience, you know, the best stock, you know, on the racetrack as well as in the sales ring. So I really treasure that time. I really enjoy going up there every year. You know, but it's from the sales aspect, I love day of sale day. Like, one of the things I enjoy the most is, you know, bright and early mornings on sale day, trying to figure out who's on the horse, how much they're going to bring, you know, all the intricate details that go into, you know, getting that horse sold. And it's a real buzz.
I gotta say, as a Saratoga evangelist, this is the closest I've ever gotten to Saratoga. Yeah, yeah. This is my first time here, and it's been amazing. Can you remember your first time and how it felt to be here?
Yeah, funny enough, when I was going to school in the University of Arizona, United Tote needed some help with some students to train some new tellers on the new tote system, so they recruited us from U of A in the racetrack industry program. And we came out here and we actually went to Belmont as well, training the tellers. So we got paid to come and go to the races, which I thought was amazing.
Wow, yeah. Yeah.
But I remember coming here and walking around to the training track and walking up and like, I was just, you know, like Bill referenced, I'd never seen anything like this place, you know?
Yep.
So that's a little different than the bush tracks in Utah.
Absolutely.
Well, Chance, we really appreciate you stopping by. I know it's a busy week for you and best of luck with the sale.
Awesome, thanks guys. Thanks. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, great job.
Y'all. Great stuff. The TDN Riders Room is brought to you by Lane's End. This week's Lane's End Stallion of the Week is City of Light. Yearlings by City of Light were on fire at the sales last year, and they've continued to blow up at the two-year-old sales. We cannot wait to see his horses on the track. I think there's such high anticipation and excitement for his first crop. He stands for $60,000, so if you can get in now, because that price might go up. We'll be right back after this message from Lane's End.
City of Light, a multiple Grade 1 winner with $5.6 million in earnings. Winner of the Grade 1 Malibu, the Grade 1 Triple Bend, the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, posting a 110 buyer, and the Grade 1 Pegasus World Cup, posting a 112 buyer. The best son to date of leading stallion Quality Road, City of Light stands to continue his sire's legacy at Lane's End.
With some of the fullest fields in the country and quality racing year-round, there's never been a better time to reap the rewards of breeding and racing in Kentucky. Purse money in Kentucky is at an all-time high, as is average purse per race, outpacing California, Florida, and New York. Kentucky breds. Breed them. Raise them. Race them. We all win.
The TDN Riders Room is brought to you by the Kentucky Thoroughbred Owners and Breeders. This year, Kentucky Breds won every single 100-point race on the Kentucky Derby Trail, so that field's going to be loaded with Kentucky Breds. But let's talk about the even more important Kentucky Breds, the foals that I went to see on the farm yesterday. It was great to see all the babies, and it really, really added to the experience of coming down here to horse country. So those Kentucky Breds, you know, they're a money machine. You see those $100,000 purses over here at Keeneland? It's going to be even better at Churchill, so check them out. So let's talk a little bit of racing. It was a beautiful, beautiful weekend at Keeneland. There was a ton of great racing, big fields, like Tony was talking about. It's really probably the best betting product until Saratoga, I would say. There's nothing else that really compares. But outside of Keeneland, there were a couple of big performances. Obviously, the headliner for the weekend was Latruska in the Apple Blossom, successfully defending her title, holding off Clary Eric, who I think is going to have a pretty big year. It's, at this point, what else is there to say about Latruska?
You know, as long as they don't do anything outside the box, like run against males or something like that, there really isn't. I mean, she's, other than the Breeders' Cup distaff, which was the pace meltdown and she had a perfect excuse, she's just a machine, Joe. Yeah. I mean, she just goes out there and does her job. And it was an interesting race. There are only five horses in the race, but what a good field it was. Yeah. You had another champion in CC. You had, of the five horses, four were Grade 1 winners in there. So she really, you know, got the job done. It looks now that, so she beat one champion in CC. It looks like now she's going to face another champion in Malathat, who ran the day before here at Keeneland. I don't know if we're going to talk more about that race not, but in the June 10th Ogden Phipps at Belmont. So, you know, there's no easy path for her right now, because that division, as it has been for the last couple of years, is pretty loaded. So, you know, I think it'll be interesting too that, you know, she was a Horse of the Year candidate last year, and to a point where she didn't come through in the Breeders' Cup. Now, there's so many good male horses out there. She's going to need to have a situation where nobody really flourishes to be able to become Horse of the Year. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see what they do. Now, Malathat, on the other hand, she's an interesting horse. She's also a wind machine, but she never impresses you. Right. She just goes out there and, you know, at the 3/16 pole, she's kind of right there and she grinds away. And the next thing you know, she's a half length in front. But take nothing away from her. All she does is win. But, you know, she's the best horse I can remember in a long time, that every time she runs, she's like, okay, you know.
Right. And just going back to Latruska, you know, you mentioned that she was in a race, five horse field, four of them were Grade 1 winners, but she had to run a lifetime best buyer number to win. She she tied up her lifetime best with a 103 buyer in this race, and you know, in a race that was jam packed with really top horses. And my other takeaway is the fact that You know, she's 6 years old. They didn't have to run her this year. They could have cashed in. They could have bred her to, you know, the top stallions in the world if they wanted to. But instead, they brought her back. And as a six-year-old, she's, you know, hitting lifetime best numbers and looks like she's, you know, going to continue to improve. So for me, it was the weekend was all about Latruska. And the fact that she just keeps on winning and keeps on beating, as you said, a very deep field of fillies and mares.
Yeah, I mean, I'm totally with Bill, by the way, on Malathot. She's like the winningest horse I've never been impressed by.
Yeah.
You know, it's just it's one of those things where she's just a grinder. And I feel like often she doesn't look like she's going to win. I would say that's the most impressive thing. Sometimes you see her getting scrubbed down on the turn, and you think, well, today's the day that she gets taken down, and she does find a way to win. But a couple other interesting horses I wanted to mention from Saturday at Keeneland, because there were some other stakes. With the Elkhorn Channelmaker, who I was completely against. I was, like, against Channelmaker at, like, 8-5 or 9-5, and then he wins at 7-2, and I'm like, should have just used him. But it was nice to see that because he had gone off form a little bit. And we want to talk about a war horse, a horse that shows up year after year after year, and he's big marathon turf races. So I thought it was good to see him get back on form. And the other horse was, who I think might be all right, is Scalding in the Ben Alley, the Shug horse. He's a horse that I was against on Saturday. You can tell how my day went. I was against him at Tampa, but he just keeps getting better. He's a lightly raced horse. And I think, you know, maybe on the lower levels of the handicap division, he can make some noise. And the thing about a Shug horse is you expect him to keep getting better. You don't think that they're going to top out and then fall off. And, you know, similarly to Latruska, I think that's what's so impressive about her is especially the fillies and mares. I feel like it's sometimes hard for them to keep their form year after year after year. So the fact that she's still out here in top form as a six-year-old, and it speaks to the training job that Fausto Gutierrez does, and it speaks to the mare and her desire to race, I think.
I want to jump in on what John said about bringing her back as a six-year-old. And it's great, but it's not that unique right now. The trend in racing is, okay, so the male horses are going to be tired as soon as possible. We all know that. But the trend now is people are keeping these fillies and mares in training, and they are running at 5. They are running at 6. I mean, we don't see them whisked off into the breeding shed after 3, not necessarily even after 4. And, you know, to me that, horses like Latruska, and then you go back, of course, to Zenyatta and Rachel, and plenty others in between, you know, they're becoming, to me, these horses, they're the stars of the game because they're going to not race 7 times. You know, they're going to run, you know, 3, 4, 5, maybe 6. Who knows? Remember, I mean, the owner is one of the wealthiest men in the world. Maybe he just says, I couldn't care less if I about whatever I can get from breeding her. Maybe they'll run her next year. Who knows? But it's a nice trend. And, other thing, too, is, and I've written about this before, all the horses that are getting into the Hall of Fame now are all fillies. Because nobody, horse ran 7 times. I'm putting that horse in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. So, you have to go back to American Pharoah, I think is the last male horse. And obviously he gets in because of, winning the Triple Crown. But it's an interesting trend in racing. So go girls.
Right. That's right. Right. Yeah. No, exactly. And the other takeaway from the weekend is baby races are starting. Mm-hmm. There were a couple of baby races, here at Keeneland. And that just brings a whole new crop of potential horses in. And everyone is... What's the old saying? No, I can't say that saying. Sorry.
Well, now I want to know what it was.
Yeah. That's an off-the-air saying. But spring is upon us. There's babies that are running, and they're all undefeated.
I've got an interest on the baby race. John, did you notice that so today is Tuesday? They're both yesterday and today. There were parks had 2-year-old races at 2 furlongs. And there's a horse in the race today, I don't know the name of the horse, that ran in the 4.5 furlong Keeneland. So he's turning back from 4.5 furlongs.
Right, wow.
So you have to wonder, how can he handle, I think it's a filly. How can she handle the turn back from 4.5 to 2?
But more importantly, to your point from last show, she's running 2 weeks later.
Yeah,
so
exactly,
there's a horse that's running every 2 weeks.
Yeah, you don't have anybody ready for the 2 furlong races, John?
I probably do, but we want to make sure that we're showcasing them.
Right.
Otherwise, because I don't think that the winner of the 2 furlong race is going to be a rising star. I just have that anticipation. So that's why we're not
so
running.
Bitter. He's so bitter. About the horse that I didn't make rising stars.
You ought to make the horse a rising star just to piss him off.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I can stop bitching. Right.
The fastest 2 furlongs in the history of Parks racing. The only 2 furlongs in the history of Parks racing.
Yeah, it's interesting. I wonder what the stats are for the cutback.
Yeah, right.
Four and a half to 2 furlongs.
Right. Yeah. What's the ROI on that trainer?
That's a money angle right there. The Green Group Guest of the Week is sponsored by The Green Group, an accounting, tax, consulting, and advisory firm specializing in the thoroughbred industry. With over 500 clients in the horse business, they have proven strategies to save you taxes. You can learn more about how they can help you at www.greenco.com. So we don't have a Green Group Guest of the Week this week because everybody is the Green Group Guest of the Week. And shout out to Len Green, John's dad, and the founder of the Green Group, being so generous with all the tax consultations, everything. He's always been a big supporter of the show and a big fan of the show. So we always love and appreciate Len's support. So I hope these tax consultations don't put you out of business, because we got three guys today, and then maybe me at some point. I mean, the tax consultation. So shout out to Len and shout out to all the Green Group Guests of the Week for stopping by. And we'll be right back after this message from the Green Group.
Why do the most successful owners, breeders, and horsemen select the Green Group as their tax advisor? We simply save them money and know how to make them more successful. Over the past 40 years, founder Leonard Green has owned and bred some of the best racehorses in the history of the sport. His in-depth, hands-on industry knowledge, combined with cutting-edge tax-saving strategies, has produced positive results for his clientele and has made the Green Group the top-rated accounting and tax firm in the business. For a confidential and complimentary consultation, contact us at 732-634-5100 or visit our website at www.greenco.com. The Green Group, proven strategies to save you taxes.
The TDN Writers Room is brought to you by XBTV. This week's XBTV Workout of the Week is Messier. Went 5 furlongs and 59-4 Saturday at Santa Anita. Going to be ridden by John Velasquez in the Kentucky Derby. Maybe a little bit of a forgotten horse on the board. Might get a little bit of a price that you wouldn't have gotten a month ago. But you can check out his work and all of the Kentucky Derby contenders' works at xbtv.com. Just search the horse's name. It's almost certainly there. So now we're going to bring in our last guest, Mike Stidham, a little late addition of the show. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. We've talked to you on the show before, but it's great to meet you in person. I want to ask about the big horse, Mystic Guide, because he was one of my favorite horses in the handicap division last year. Obviously, he had that incredible run in the Dubai World Cup. He just came back recently to the work tab. I believe I saw him work this weekend at Keeneland. How's he doing? How you feeling? What kind of campaign are you thinking for him?
Right now, he's had two works here at Keeneland. Both works were just in hand and not really being asked to do a whole lot, but he made it through both works well. We've kept him here at Keeneland because Dr. Bramlage has kind of been watching his progress. We've been pleased with, you know, the way he's come out of both works. And, you know, what we're hoping for is we're looking to, you know, start a campaign maybe at Belmont, looking at maybe the Suburban, Whitney, Jockey Club, Gold Cup are the races that we would be focusing on that would hopefully bring us back here to Keeneland for the Breeders' Cup.
For sure.
Yeah.
Mike, good morning. Thanks for joining us. You have the kind of operation where you can run in any one of maybe half a dozen tracks around you know, the eastern part of the U.S., et cetera. But it's interesting. You're here at Keeneland, and how much are you looking at this purse structure in Kentucky now? Where, I mean, there was an allowance race the other day, went for $130,000 here at Keeneland. So for you, how much of the purses do you weigh when you make your decisions where you're going to put your horses?
Well, without a doubt, the purse structure is important, but we also have a circuit that we've traveled well on. We have a barn at Fairhill owned by one of our clients, David Ross, and it's a beautiful setup at Fairhill. I don't know if you've been there, but they have a tapeta track, a dirt track, they have grass gallops. So we've really worked well out of Fairhill ever since Arlington demise, mm-hmm. and it's worked for us. So that's more what we try to do that works for us rather than just go after, you know, the big purses. Mm-hmm. So that's our program. Okay. Yeah.
Right. And Mike, when you're over in Dubai and you're getting a horse ready for that race, is there something different or special that you're doing to get the horse, you know, acclimated to the new, you know, region and the new racetrack and things like that? Like, walk our audience through what you did to prepare Mystic Guide for a big race like that.
Well, other than there being 12 million reasons to be there, it was an amazing journey. Hillary, my assistant, and I had never been over there. And it's like no other trip. You get treated like royalty. You know, the horses get treated amazingly. We were you know, treated really well. So anyway, it is a different structure than what we have over here for from a training standpoint. The walk to the barn is almost a 2 mile walk for the horses. So it's almost an hour and a half to an hour and 45 minutes from the time they leave the barn till they get back to the barn. So that's different for them. Luckily, Mystic Guide seemed to flourish from it. He loved the routine. I thought, oh my God, this is gonna be really taxing on him and it's gonna take something out and he might get out of the feed tub. But more than anything, he just seemed to blossom over there and do well at the right time. And like I say, the other difference is going over for the race, you leave the barn about 2 hours before the race because you have to be vanned from the barn to the staging area where they have these different places to go. He was pre-race tested before the race, then he had to go to another area and we would put the bridle and all that equipment on. And I must say, I was concerned back there because he was getting pissed off. Yeah, he was hot. He didn't like being stuck in the stall while they tested him. I had to ask them to, you know, let him come out a little sooner than they expected. So there was a lot of things going on that concerned me. Then we get to the saddling area and going on to the track, a loose horse. Now we got a postponement and Mystic Guide is over there slamming himself against the pony and getting hot. Then we get to the gate, a horse goes under the gate, and now we got another postponement and they're sticking microphones in my face saying, what are you thinking? And I'm thinking, this is a disaster. Right. You know, how is he gonna overcome this? And somehow it worked and it was amazing. So. It was a lot, but, you know, the horse was able to overcome it.
I wanted to ask you a sale question because we've got the Horses of Racing Age sale coming up here at Keeneland on Friday. And, you know, there's a little bit more of an advent of the Horses of Racing Age, the hybrid sales, the digital sales. I feel like the sales environment and the schedule is evolving a little bit. You train a lot of homebreds, but you're no stranger to the sales, too. What's your feeling about that? Do you think clients are they down for that, or do they prefer a more traditional sale experience?
Well, I think the COVID experience, you know, pushed us into this. And people were reluctant in the beginning because they were like, you know, what is this? This all online stuff. But I think everybody's getting very comfortable with it. I think it's a plus, and I think it's going to help the sales industry a lot. I really do. And we've actually had a few in these sales, and it's worked well for us. So. Cool.
Mike, you had an interesting winner over the weekend. Penny Baker won the Heavenly Cause Stakes at Laurel, first time over in the U.S. Looks like a nice prospect. What can you tell us about this horse?
That's a filly that came to me. I didn't even know she was coming. Michael Banahan called, and who is the racing manager now for Godolphin, and said, we've got a filly that is won her last four on synthetic tracks over there. She's got a dirt pedigree, and we're going to bring her over here and want you to work her on the dirt and see what you think. We worked her on the dirt, and from the first work on the dirt, it was like she was under a stranglehold, put her behind horses. She took dirt in her face, worked her out of the gate. She worked great. So we were pretty confident going into the race, you know, going right into a stake race on a surface she had never run on was concerning, but you could see from the minute she broke out of the gate, she put herself in position. The rider didn't, all he had to do was steer her, and he had a ton of horse turning for home. So we're excited about her, and I think based on the way she won and the number she ran, I think graded stakes company is in her future for
great.
Sure.
Great. And Mike, my last question is, you know, one of the things that's on the horizon right now, 10 weeks away, is the Heiser rules being implemented. What does it mean to you, and is it enough?
Well, I think it's much needed. I think we need a central voice to guide us on a lot of different areas, medication, even the situation on the shoeing where we're all going to have to, you know, use the same Queen's Plate type of shoe. My blacksmith made a good comment. He says, I can get rid of my weather app and my grinder now. I never have to worry about that again, right? Because yep, we're all going to have to use the same shoe. So those kind of things are important. I mean, I think we need someone to, you know, say this is what we're going to do, and we're all going to do it the same way, and we all get on a level playing field. It's important for the industry.
Uniformity, for absolutely, sure, something sorely needed. Well, Mike, thank you so much for stopping by. It's great to talk to you, great to meet, and learn that you're a Jersey guy too, so you're automatically good with us here at this show. So thanks, Mike.
Absolutely. Thank you. Mike. Thanks for having me.
The TDN Writers Room is brought to you by West Point Thoroughbreds. Joining a West Point Thoroughbreds partnership can vault you into the world of instant camaraderie among people surrounding high-class horses and stakes action for a fraction of the cost of trying to do it on your own. You can learn more at westpointtb.com. And just right here, West Point had a really impressive winner on Sunday, B-Doc. It was an expensive son of Gormley, won off by 11-plus lengths for Doug O'Neill. So congratulations to the partners. Looks like you got a promising three-year-old there. And also last week, West Point was super busy at the OPS April sale, including purchasing the third highest lot of the entire sale, the $1.7 million son of Tappet. So always some exciting things on the horizon for West Point. And we'll be right back after this message from West Point Thoroughbreds.
All the thrills, fraction of the bills. Experience the power of the partnership. Change your life, make new friends, and compete at the highest level of thoroughbred racing. West Point Thoroughbreds, the gold standard in racing partnerships. Visit westpointtb.com.
Being a small family business, I guess we're part of a dying breed. We're really grateful for the people that entrust us. We know it's a huge responsibility.
We're always with your horse, every step of the way. When it comes to being at the sales ground, showing your horses, we are with your horse.
Just driving up down the road every day, there's not a time that I don't look out and feel a responsibility to the sport, the animal, the people that come to invest in the game. I want to see as many people enjoy this sport as they possibly can, because we do have the most beautiful sport in the world.
The TDN Writers Room is brought to you by Legacy Bloodstock. If you think that 50 years combined experience in the horse business could benefit your program, give Tommy or Wendy a call. They personally advise on each horse as if they were their own. 2021 was a tremendous year for Legacy Bloodstock. Stock 90% of the hips they offered at Keeneland September sold. It's a remarkable clearance rate, and just a touch below that, 88% at Keeneland November. And Legacy grads have already earned over $2.3 million this year. So shout out to Tommy and Wendy, a small outfit that's really competing with the big boys, I would say, on a daily basis, on a weekly basis. So check them out. Yearling sales season is right around the corner. All right, so I guess that's going to do it for this week's edition of the TDN Writers Room, live from Keeneland. Well, not live. Patty keeps telling me not to say live. On scene at Keeneland. I had a great time. I had a good old time with you guys, with the whole crew. How's it been for you?
I mean, this is like going to fantasy camp. You know, between the racing and the sales coming up and the beautiful weather, the really nice people, the ambiance. I mean, I would think that, Bill, this is like Fenway Park for you, right? Coming to Keeneland.
Yeah, no, that's it. Well, first of all, the beautiful weather. What are you talking about? I'm freezing, John. But I mean, that's an interesting comparison. You know, old, historic, majestic, you know, classy type place.
Institution.
Exactly. That's right. A good way to put it, an institution. So never a bad day.
And no Yankee fans here either, which is the other nice
goodness,
thing for
yeah,
you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's go Yankees. I'll start a chant. No, but it's been so much fun. We want to thank everybody at Keeneland for putting us up in this beautiful setting. Couldn't ask for anything more. Had such a great time. I'll definitely be back. The only regret I have from this trip is I didn't stay long enough, so I'll definitely be back in the fall. So thank you to everybody for watching. Thanks to Bill Finley, John Green, our Green Group guests of the week, Chance Tim, Mike Stidham, and Tony Lacey, our producer Patty Wolf, our associate producer Katie Petruniak, and our editors Anthony LaRocca and Leah LaRocca, and Nathan Wilkinson, who's right here. Appreciate you guys coming out. So we'll see you next week back on Zoom.